This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody, welcome to Shift and Steer. Everybody's here in the studio today, and we're ready to get going. We're going to rev the motors up. But you know what? Before we do, I think Matt's got something to tell you.
Yeah, I just want to remind you guys about our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. They have every stat, every matchup, even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our slots. There's over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. And don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's Bet Online. The game starts here.
I'm a true believer.
Sweet.
Hey, so thank you, Bet Online. And I got to start out today. I was pretty frustrated this morning, gentlemen. Okay, this is a Bond Speed Wheels story, and it goes back to the automotive aftermarket. And people, you have to know what you're buying, okay? This goes whether it's a rear end, a supercharger, a turbocharger, tires. Do a little research. Do research. And if you don't know, ask questions. We had something happen this morning that just very frustrating. First of all, yes, I do have a cell phone that all of our phones get forwarded to every night. I usually start answering the phone at 7 o'clock in the morning while I'm getting my day going and watching the news and things like that. That way I can service the people on the East Coast. Every once in a while, yeah, it rings early. This morning it rang at 4:30 in the morning, 4:35 in the morning, 4:45 in the morning. You know, first of all, if somebody doesn't pick up the first time, wait for them to call back at least a half hour. But finally at 6 a.m., after five calls, I got up, I walked out, and I said, I didn't say Bond Speed like I usually do because I recognized the number. And I said, hello. And this was, of course, an East Coast customer that we've been dealing with. And it's, I'm not going to name any names or even cities or anything, but this gentleman ordered a set of wheels. And we are always there to talk them through anything and try and help them. But this guy knew it all. I mean, he knew everything and didn't want to listen to any advice. And that's fine. We will just do that. But it got down to the bolt pattern. It's usually the backspace, how the wheels are going to fit. But every once in a while, we'll run into someone who, maybe they put a Ford rear end, 9-inch under their car, and they've got a GM up front and a Ford in the rear. So we always double check. We go, are you absolutely sure? Then we have them sign off on it. And this particular gentleman had a Chevrolet, and he had ordered about a $5,000 set of wheels. And he said, and I want them in a Ford bolt pattern. And I said, okay, That's not a GM bolt pattern. Because we weren't saying Ford GM. He ordered a 5 on 4.5. And I said, now you do understand that's a Ford bolt pattern. Your car would have a 5 on 4 3/4. Nope. Mine is 5 on 4.5 front and rear. I changed over to Wilwood brakes. And I go, okay. I said, you're sure? And he goes, yes. You know, with Wilwood brakes, you can get them either way. And I said, I do understand that. They do offer that dual lug pattern and multiple lug pattern. I said, but you sure? So we go through the whole thing. I send it to him in an email, say, reply yes if this is correct. Basically spelling everything out. He gets back, yes. So we delivered his wheels back the end of February. So now we finally get a call this morning, or numerous calls. The guy is all bent out of shape. He's MFing me up, down, every which way. It's all our fault. We suck. We're the worst. We can't even get a bolt pattern right. He went to put them on, and now he's going to miss a show, blah, blah, blah. And he's sick of this shit. He's wants his money back. And, you know, and I'm like, what is the problem here? And he says, you did the wrong bolt pattern. You drilled these for a Ford bolt pattern. And I said, I know, we went over that several times. And he goes, no. And I go, okay, first of all, it's 6 a.m. in the morning out here. Said, let me get into the shop. When I get into the shop, I'll pull all the paperwork up, because now I'm second guessing myself and I'm stressing, because I'm going, okay, am I thinking of a different customer?
How do we miss this? Yeah.
Did I screw it up? Did we actually? And see, we have a very good checks and balance where the wheels get checked out. They go through quality control. Then they even go through another layer where we double check everything again, the backspace, the bolt pattern, you know, is the weld good? Is the polish good? One more time before they're bagged and put in the boxes and the labels are put on. Because stuff like this, people don't realize it, but shipping a set of wheels now is almost $500. The average set of wheels, they go clear up to 6 or 7, depending on the size, across the country. So you do not want to have them get there to turn around and have to eat shipping back, because you're $1,000 in just shipping wheels and back now. So I get into the shop, I look, and everything is right. I'm like, I don't. So I call the guy back, and here's what he says. All right, Wilwood brakes can go either way. Why aren't these fitting? And I said, well, I'm sir, I don't know what you ordered your brakes. Did you order them as a 5 4 3/4 or a 5 on 4.5? You told me they were 5 on 4.5, and that's what we built. And I asked you numerous times. He goes, no, Wilwood brakes, they go both ways. And I go, I don't know what you mean. And he goes, they're supposed to fit 5 on 4 3/4, basically a Chevrolet or a Ford bolt pattern. And
I'm
not saying it that nice. He's yelling it and screaming. And I go, okay, let me explain this to you. And I, in my nicest tone, I explained it to him. And he's like, oh, I guess I'll have to change the studs in the front then, move them. And I go, yes. And he goes, and in the back, I'll have to pull my axles and have them reach, because he's got a narrow rear end and everything. He goes, have them re-drilled. And I go, yes. And he goes, so this was my error. And I go, yes. And he goes, I love the wheels. They look like jewelry. They are beautiful. I can't wait to get them on my car. Thanks, click.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
It's like, we're here to help. We try and help, but you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And
but that's interesting with the terminology. Is he misunderstood the terminology? He thought they were a universal fit for those two lug patterns, and that doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, the studs don't have any give, right, Eric?
Yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine
they're
like
variable studs? They're on a swivel.
Well, if they were all like slotted, like all the holes were slotted, you could move them around a little bit.
Well, hey, do you guys ever remember Unilug? Have you ever heard?
No.
Okay,
we're not in the wheel business.
Well,
Brad.
No, this guy. I wasn't in the wheel business when I learned Unilug. Back in the early 80s, Krager came out with Unilook, and they had slotted holes.
Oh man!
The washer that you used determined the bolt pattern. The had it. It went down in a slot, and they had figured out a way to, you know, wow, Unilook, it fits. You know, these wheels will fit anything with the right washers, and you know, but it goes back to, it's almost like saying, hey, we make 15 to 24 inch wheels or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that, you know, you buy a different size tire and they grow to fit, you know. Yeah.
I mean,
some people don't get it, but you know, to be a little easier about it, you know.
Thinking about his issue, I mean, if he's got a good Wilwood brake kit on there, which I'm sure he does, if this is a more,
they're multi-drill. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's like, if he's got two piece rotors in the front, he could probably call Wilwood, just get the center section, just get the hat. And then, you know, it's torqued down. It's, I don't know if it's even safety wired or whatever, but in the front, he could probably just get the hats done and keep the rest of the kit and probably get the front done fairly inexpensively.
I would think. Yeah.
The rear is going to be a little bit more.
The rear's going to pull the axles and, yeah, pull, you know, axles. But see, this is what I'm getting at, is that it doesn't matter what you're buying. We have a tech line for a reason, and we're there to try and help people, because people don't, even top builders will call me and they're just like, man, I don't know how this backspace thing works, you know, or, you know,
I'm one of them.
It's like voodoo, you know, I mean, yeah. And I have a guy on the phone who has just built a chassis. You know, all the math it took to build that chassis and suspension. But when it comes to that backspace, he's like, no, man, help me figure it out. And I'll admit, when I first got into the business, I was that way, because you know that you can screw it up real easy. If you just kind of don't have your, you know, I have even been on the phone with people and been getting their measurements and stuff from them and said, you know what, let me call you back. I need a few minutes with this one, because, you know, sometimes I actually have a line drawing of a wheel where I move it, you know, just to kind of get my brain back in where it needs to be. And I've thought many times, you know, you've seen these wheel measurement tools and stuff. I've had a couple ideas for those, and I've even thought of like one for here in the shop, just to double check stuff that could just be
sure.
Center that's maybe drilled a little too small and it's on some rails, and you could just move it and go, yeah, okay, if we did, yeah, you know, because some fitments are really complex. I mean, and you don't always get the best information. You know, the old saying, good information in, good information out, bad information in, bad information out. And
sure.
So we got to remind people and double check their measurements. And because I've had guys tell me, all right, from the mounting pad out to the lip is, I'm going to use round figures here, is 5 inches. Okay. And what is it from the same mounting surface into whatever the first thing the tire would hit? 7 yeah. inches. And I go, okay, so you have 12 inches of overall room that we have to work with. Oh no, I measured that. It's 15. And I go, okay, something's wrong. And I mean, literally, that happens all the time, you know.
Wow.
Or they'll go, no, I have 10. And I go, well, then those two don't add up to 10, you know. So,
well, Brad, I don't see a YouTube link out there with your name on it on how to measure your wheel size.
We have done one on how to measure your lug nuts. And you know what? Rick said that to me, because there's quite a few of them out there, and he goes, we should just do one. Just,
yeah, do one, Brad.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. We should. Yeah. But it goes back into a general term of use your tech.
And you're not even answering all of the questions. You're just still scratching the surface. Like I said, I just put wheels on the new Ford Lightning, and the factory lugs were a little short because hole maybe was just a little deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, so I needed longer lug nuts just so it would go all the way down. And it's off by just like an eighth of an inch. Like, you tighten them all down and there's like a slight little wiggle on the wheel. It means they're just bottoming out. So I needed longer ones. And then, you know, when we were doing my Red Cobra for SEMA, you know, we kind of had a rush and get it done. If you remember, we were like mounting and
balancing
tires, like as the car was getting loaded onto the trailer. And yeah, one of the things like we just didn't even think about was it's got big bare brakes on it, and the dust cap is too far out, and you can't put a center cap on the wheel, you know. And then we pull the dust caps off.
New caps.
Yeah, except I haven't gotten them yet.
That's because I haven't engraved them or powder coated them yet. So.
But yeah, there was it just, you know, and then we took the dust caps off, and we managed to kind of get the flush ones on. They don't sit on perfectly, but it was enough for the SEMA show. Right. But yeah, just kind of a thought process going, oh, and the valve stems would hit the brakes because I had the big brakes. Now we can do a flush valve stem or a hidden valve stem. And it ended up working. It's just, you're right. As you're bolting them on and rolling the car out for a show or something, you gotta be aware.
It's the multitude of little things that can go wrong. You know,
there's a lot of little things that can go wrong, and it's hard to, I can see how it's hard to explain for you as a wheel manufacturer to the customer and going, measure this, measure that, you know, what brakes do you have? What's the brake clearance on there? You know, or do you want a hidden valve stem? Do you not want a hidden valve stem? You know, like just all of that stuff.
And Matt, we've come up with some simplification. Like there's two measurements that I can get from just about anyone and fit their car. You know, there's this chart that we have, but I really only need two measurements for most cars. The second thing that people don't understand is caliper clearance. You know, you'll ask them, what kind of brakes do you have on the car? They'll go, disc. I go, okay, I understand that, but are they, you know, and a lot of people don't know. They bought the car, and so we've come up with a thing. I tell them to go to Home Depot and get one of those free paint sticks that they have in the paint department. And I say, take one wheel off the front, one wheel off the rear. And what you do is you set that paint stick in between the studs, you know, across the brake caliper, just up to the caliper, across the brake rotor, just up to the brake caliper. If it's behind the bottom of the paint stick, you don't have to worry about anything. It's behind the line. But if it does, you mark it with a pen, and then you take a tape measure and go, it sticks out an eighth of an inch, quarter of an inch, 1 inch. And you do the same in the rear. They don't have to know a part number. They don't have to know anything. And it's something that most people have at Home Depot. They can get that. And I know what they're working with. And we have a photo we send them. And, you know, it's...
you had the problem clearing those valve stems, right?
Yeah, but we did a hidden valve stem on that wheel. It's on the inside of the rim instead of on the outside. And, you know, it looks good, but yeah, I had big brakes.
They're
like
called effing valve stems. Yeah. Every time you go to use them, you have the F word coming out left or right.
But, you know, now,
that was a long ordeal getting the right clearance.
Well, I mean, we got it. We did the flush ones for cement. It was fine. And then I just started sort of scouring the internet for short valve stems to see what the options are, and looking at the different valve stem caps. Some of them are kind of domed. Some of them are flat. Some of them are metal. Some of them are plastic. And then added to that, I wanted to add a TPMS to it as well. So was there a solution? And I ended up buying small valve stems, buying separate caps. And then I sent the valve stems to Dakota Digital, and they threaded them and made them fit on their TPMS kit.
Wow.
And I fitted it, test fit it on the back, and it seems to clear. Like, so it's probably a couple sheets of paper thick, you know?
Wow.
You know, maybe
100 thousandths is all you need.
I mean, it's probably like, I have a thick business card, and I think it would fit a business card because there's no real like expansion to it, really. It's not, you know, like where that is, you know, it's not like, you know, so it's probably, I think it's going to be fine.
Now, I'd say that's cutting it close.
It is cutting it close.
The story of my Ferrari when I put the wheels on it and I put rubber chrome sleeve valve stems on it.
Oh, that's...
We thought it was clearing, and I drove it to a car show. And every time it came around and he hit the caliper, it would knock that thing back and let a of air out. Yeah. By the time I got there, I had flat tires on the roof.
Yeah.
I remember that story. That's classic.
Yeah. Now, mine seemed to clear now, but if it was an issue, like, I don't know, if there was something I was doing, like a track event or something where I felt like there was going to be some sort of, I don't know, maybe some sort of heat expansion or whatever, I could take the valve stem or the valve caps off.
Yeah.
The valve caps would give you.
But there's nothing that moves there. Your calipers are stationary. Your valve stem stationary. If anything moves, you have bigger problems.
Right. Right. Exactly. If I hear a click, I'm like, something's really bad here. Yeah. If I hear that little click, click, click noise. But, you know, I on the 95 Lightning, I had custom axles made by Mark Williams for that. We put an Eaton Posse in the back, and Mark Williams made the axles. And you're right. I went through their instructions, through their spec sheet, and I just measured and measured and measured. And I was like, and the math in my head just wasn't like, first of all, you scour the internet and you ask everybody what the axle lengths are. You'll still get 9 different answers.
That's right.
Right. Like nobody knows. Nobody really knows. And I just kept doing it again and again and again. And finally, I was just like, I just started going further and further into the truck, and like, wheels were off, brakes were off, plumb bobs were hanging, and I'm like trying to find the center of, because, you know, of course the center section isn't in the middle, so your left isn't the same as the right, but when you add them up, you go, well, this is the total width. And it's exactly what you were saying before, Brad, is somebody, you measure from the face of the brake to the outside, and then the face of the brake to the inside is 12 inches, and somebody goes, I got 15. And you go, it's not right. That's what was happening to me. I was going from the center of the center section to the driver's side, to the left, to the passenger side. And I'm going, but when I measure all the way across, I get whatever, 89 inches. But when I do individual axles, I'm getting 88 and a quarter. And again on the phone with Mark Williams, and the guy's going, it's not adding up. It's not adding up. You got to keep measuring, try it again. And I just started like doing it and making sure and hanging plumb bobs and taking pictures and like, is this the right center section? Is this the right face? Is this the right? Because if you can't get, like, imagine, you know, like measuring with a caliper, you can't get a giant caliper to go from the face of. So you're trying to use a straight edge, and then you're trying to use a tape measure, and something's always off when you do that.
You know,
it's like trying to measure the height of my, like, how tall is my truck? Like, you try to get like a broomstick across the roof of your truck because it needs to come out far enough to get a tape measure, because a tape measure, the top of the truck kind of leans in, so you never get the right height. Radius. And I'm like, what garage do I fit in now that I've lowered my truck a little bit? I'm right on the edge of like 6'6" and 6'5", and there's so many parking garages that are out here that are like 6'4" or 6'6", and I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna hit it by an inch or miss it by an inch.
And they have
just drive through every parking lot.
Piece of PVC, and it says this garage is 6'5", and you pull in and you go, I'm already in here now. What do I do? You know, and my,
don't even get me started on that.
Yeah,
it drives me nuts.
My suburban has a antenna on the top, and I can't tell you how many times I can pull it in and I go, oh, I can clear that. And then you hear it hit the antenna and you go, did I just hit? You know, and you're like, oh no, okay, wait a minute.
I did that in Vegas.
So many garages out here. You're right, where you're about to pull in before you commit, clearance 6'6".
Yeah.
Once you get in, you get to the first like pay station for the gate to go up, and the sign says 6'4" beyond this point. I'm like, why did you even put 6'6"?
Yeah.
First of all, it should be the minimum. It should be the minimum required out there. You know, like,
I'll tell you what, I did hit my luggage rack in one up in Century City one day, because it was like, I go, oh, I can clear that. But what they didn't tell me is, you know, the garages that have the cement with the little expansion joints, and your car starts doing the buckaroo thing, the porpoising, and I'm going along and it's starting to bounce a little, and all of a sudden I hear my luggage rack go, and I'm like, oh no, damn it.
Yeah. But it's probably good you had the luggage rack up there.
Yeah, because yeah,
there's probably some amount of protection.
But back to measuring and stuff. The other thing people forget, and I only kind of came up to this because of one of my own cars, my 67 Chevelle Supersport. I went to I was going to build a set of wheels for it. And I went, okay, wait a minute. These don't fit. And I went, why don't these wheels fit? I've done 67 Chevelles for years and they were like a half inch off. And then I remembered, oh yeah, back in 1980, whatever, I blew up the rear end on that car and I put a different rear end in it out of a 69 GTO because my buddy down the street had a brand new rear end with 456 gears, posi, and I bought it from him. It bolts right in all the stock locations, but it was a half inch shorter because mine's a 67, his was a 69. So I tell people all the time, I go, you don't know if you haven't owned that car. And I'm the second owner of that car. I should have remembered it. And I get people all the time, even with like 80s era G-body Monte Carlos and Grand Nationals, somebody's beat the rear end up and they put a new rear end under it and just swap it. Not a narrowed one or anything, but it's not the same rear end that the car came with. And it's quarter inch shorter, or it's whatever. And that can really mess people up as well, you know?
Actually, I do
know
have
where cars have been.
Yeah, a wheel question for you now that we're beating this to death.
Not a fake one.
You said it was a little shorter. So depending on how short, you can get away with a little bit of a wheel spacer. But, you know,
able to get more lip because it was like having a little narrowed rear end under it. Yeah.
Right. But if the wheels were already made and you just needed to push them out a little bit.
Yes.
But if the wheels are pushed out a little too far already, can you take the wheel off and put it on a lathe and shave down the pad a little bit on the inside and gain yourself about an eighth of an inch?
No, you can't.
Because you're gonna cut into how much
we've been asked this many times, but it's got a 2-inch pad on the back. Right. But the pad's thickness is a certain tolerance that can't get any thinner. And we recess our lug nuts. If that was solid back there, first of all, it's added weight. Second of all, your lug nuts would be sticking out an inch because we countersink that. So you can't do that. What you can do, and what I've had to do for people that did find out they had a different rear end under their car, and like you said, a quarter of an inch wider on each side, is... if you are moving the center forward, it's not usually a problem. 75% of the time, we can put it on a lathe, cut the weld, move that center forward. What we do is we heat up the rim and it expands. We move it forward. And if it's less than a half inch, we weld right over the old line. And you can't even tell that.
Right, but
it's changed.
It's got to go that one direction because if you moved it back, you'd have this crappy looking weld
and it'll
exposed.
Cover that.
Yeah, right.
But if it's more than that, you know, we've had guys go, oh yeah, I'm like an inch off. Can you move it back? I go, you're going to have a big line there. You don't want that. So we got to throw the rims away and can still use the center, but we got to throw the
right. But that, yeah, the barrel or whatever would have to replace it. Yeah.
The hoop.
So yeah, okay. Yeah, just interesting. Yeah. So, I had a feeling that even a thick pad, because of the lug nuts being countersunk in there, you'd be shaving off a significant portion, you know, 10%, 20% of its strength.
It scares me when I've had customers say, yeah, we shave the pads and they fit. I can blah. I'm like, oh my God, the lugs are being, you know, I mean, it's just like,
yeah, you didn't do it on my wheels.
Shred it.
I had a customer, he's got a mini truck. He's a machinist and he knew what he was doing, but it still freaked me out. And I'm glad it's like, okay, you did it. I didn't. He wanted to make some wide wheels. So what he did was he cut the centers out, bought some 3-piece hoops, and then he machined his existing centers, put the little ridge in them and put all the holes around the outside and made his own 3-piece wheels. And I'm like, and he put a photo up. I remember he put a photo up and tagged us. And then he sent me a private message. He goes, I thought my wheels turned out great. What, don't you like them? You never commented on them. And I told him, I said, listen, man, I can't endorse that. I said, I can't have the liability of that. I said, we can't have you modify our wheels. We spend a lot of money to make sure that they're structurally engineered. We can't have you change
them. But good job, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I was like,
they look great.
I go, looks like you did a great job, but I'm not going to,
Yeah.
You know,
I was like, it's a great show wheel, but I'm not sure how much you want to drive on it. And what I was talking about is the Lightning, the electric truck. So when I was getting wheels, one of the big things I was looking for was the right load rating.
Yes, because the
truck
EVs is
so heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and I know some guys are like, oh yeah, well, you know, the factory wheels rated to this much, but that means an F-150 with, you know, towing or a bunch of stuff in the back. And I go, so I can go a little bit lighter. And I was like, yeah, you probably could. You're probably fine. And you're right. But that's, I would caution it. I would caution it for sure. So I wanted
people forget about that. And we have seen a lot of cast wheels that, you see these cast wheels and they hit a curb or something and they shatter and you just go, oh, wow. You know, but for the most part, wheels are pretty tough. They really, really are.
Well, Brad, I need to send you a link for a YouTube I watched the other day where I watched these guys in some other country cast their own wheel. And I was horrified. Let me find it for you real quick. It's worth watching.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Were they sandcasting them?
Yes.
Oh.
But wait till you see how they modified the old wheel to make a new wheel out of it and how they quote unquote machined it to a finish. I mean, Matt, I'll send it to both of you. It is.
There's a lot of industrious people around the world that can do it.
Very industrious. I mean, hands off to them for just getting it done. But wow. Sorry to interrupt, Matt.
I was gonna say let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Yeah, let's do that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. What's next? What else have you got? Did you get Indy you guys watch Indy 500? Did you watch anybody watch Indy 500?
I know.
If you did, it was 4 hours late, so there was a little rain delay there. And I had planned on going to a friend's house for like a barbecue, and I was like, no problem. I'm gonna watch Indy 500 in the morning, and then I'm gonna get there, and everything will be fine. And then while I got there, I had to like watch it on my phone with no sound. So I'm like, I think action is happening. Because I could see the cars.
What, they didn't want to put it on later?
I couldn't hear it. So
was it our buddy who always barbecues? And
Dave.
Numerous times, Dave, and I can never come. I thought it's funny you'd say that because I thought about it over the weekend. I thought, I bet they're barbecuing and they didn't invite me because I never come. It's not because I don't want to. It's just there's always a conflict.
Well, there's an open invitation anytime you want to go. So there's probably going to be a 4th of July one.
The stuff he does looks fantastic. Looks really
good. Yeah, this time he did smash burgers. They were awesome. But but he was always.
Well, I'll tell you, I was disappointed because I saw the rain and I was like, okay. So I go out and I'm looking at working in my garage and I got my TV going out there. And I would pop my head in every once in a while and go, okay, still nothing. They're showing the old race. And then all of a sudden, driver introductions. I was like, oh, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
If you're living under a rock, Joseph Newgarden won the Indy 500 for the
I didn't watch the end. I have it taped. Thanks a lot.
I love that saying because, you know, Patrick lived under a rock and SpongeBob, you know, Patrick. Yeah.
Second year in a row. And I, the BorgWarner trophy. So they add $20,000 each year as a bonus and it accumulates. And if you win back to back, you get all of that money. So I believe it was Ilo Castroneves that won in 2001, 2002. Yes. So it's been 23 years. It's been adding up. So when Joseph Newgarden won, there was an extra like $400,000 bonus, $420,000 or $440,000 bonus on top. So his total purse on that was like $4.4 million for winning the bonus. Now that gets shared with the team. You get a percentage of it and whatever, depending on what your contract is. But it was an interesting race. Qualifying was a little hectic. I was so sad to see Catherine Legg get damaged and out of the race again. Graham Rahal, who's a friend, I like Graham a lot, but he had terrible luck last year, didn't qualify, and then somebody else got in an accident, and they brought him in at the last minute. They did a deal overnight, and he got to race basically in that guy's car.
It was Newgarden. He was thanking me for having us talk about him on the.
Sorry. Yeah, that's good. And Pato O'Ward, who wants it so bad, he was the first Mexican driver. Did you see him
pushing that car? There were times when he was so on the edge that there was smoke coming from his tires. Man, I mean, it was
just such a valiant effort. He was dialed in. He was doing. I mean, Scott Dixon always does well. So for him to be up at the top as well. But Aaron, you didn't see it, but Pato was in front.
I heard.
And the last lap just coming out of a turn and Newgarden just was basically able to slingshot past him just on that last turn. And
I heard.
And just the way that works is Pato's there. It's just full out. He's like, there's nothing left in the car. There's nothing I can do. He had the advantage by just sort of slingshotting around me. And there was no way. Like, and at that point, the McLaren team, which didn't win a race all last year and has invested more in their team than anybody else out there, they're looking at it going, Pato's going to have this. Like, he's going to be the first Mexican driver to ever win the Indy 500. He's a young guy. He's going to win. This is going to be amazing. Finally, we're getting our head above water again. And then just, whoosh, this new guard comes around. And everyone's like, what just happened?
And he had everything going against him at the beginning of the race, O'Rourke.
He did. And, you know, there's an infographic that sort of shows you the difference between like IndyCar. Bobby Rahal shared it. I think he shared it on Facebook. And he was kind of showing you the lines of all the different changes in ranking, like going from first place to fourth place and the fourth to second and fifth to ninth. And these, and then there's one from F1. And F1 was just like, if you started the race on first, you won. If you started second, you came in second. If you started third, you went third. Like it was so uneventful when you look at that graphic and you look at this one. And Indy was just like lines going everywhere. And it's really kind of an indication of why it is kind of fun to watch. It's just kind of a weird thing to see overall. But
it was one of the most exciting Indy races.
It was fun.
Years.
Yeah.
It was so many changes, so many things happening, and pit stops were amazing too this year. They were fantastic. So
yeah, I don't think I can share the screen with you guys, but I'll share the image and you'll see all the changes. And
hey man, this isn't CarCast. We don't have that budget.
yet.
Yeah, it's like, gosh, we can't even share a screen.
We're doing CarCast last week, Brad, Matt and I, and he's sharing screens. Oh, but by the way, we post the video and he's sharing screens and pointing things out. It was all fancy. And I'm like, man, this is fancy.
You know what? I have a friend who is a video production guy and we're going to do a BMX podcast together. And
oh, cool.
He's an old BMX.
Oh yeah. Pro. You told us about him.
Yeah. And he's like already goes, it's okay. So I got my such and such mixer board all ready to go so that when we're, he goes, I can bring up, like you were saying, I can bring up, I'm like, wait a minute, maybe we need you as a producer for our show.
Yeah, no, let's bring him into Shift and Steer. Oh boy.
Anyway, Indy 500 was a good race. It was fun to see. Congratulations to Newgarden and Pato and Dixon and everybody else involved that made it out unscathed.
Yeah, I heard about that finish from a couple of people, and man, it must be so disheartening to be right there, have it in the bag, and then all of a sudden physics gets you.
Yeah, or like anything else, for us.
Anything else that can happen. I've shared with you guys, I think, on here once before, back when I used to sponsor Robbie Gordon in IndyCar with my watch company. And the year he was leading the last lap of the Indy 500 comes around turn number four, and I'm already designing watch ads in my head. I'm going to have this 1248 watch laying there with a spilt milk bottle. And all of a sudden they go, he's slowing down. He's out of fuel. And I'm like,
dang. Oh, man.
It was like, yeah. He was leading. He had it. And they just ran out of fuel. You know, you never know.
Here's another thing. It's like, if you get hit and you're out of the race, who's more bummed? Marcus Ericsson was hit like in the first lap. He was out. Race starts.
Not even the first lap. It was like the first half of a lap. Yeah,
like they didn't even finish one lap and he's out and he's watching the rest. And then Will Power, who was doing really well and potentially could have won the whole thing, gets like hit toward the end and he's out. I mean, I guess you want to be Will Power in that instance going, yeah, it was close, but I got to race, you know,
that's 400. Racing,
and you got points that's for racing, being in man. The yeah. race too. You got yeah. points for continuing laps.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because you're more talked about, but yeah, you see the graphic that I'm talking about? It's like,
oh my gosh,
the first 10 spots of F1 didn't change at all.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And look at all the changes, and we gotta share this graphic. I know we're taking it from Bobby Rahal, who actually posted it from
post it on Instagram. Yeah,
From like Sports Ball or something, some other website. But
one looks like a crochet pattern, the other one looks just like they're drawing lines on a pitch.
Yeah.
No, I would say first year as a surgeon and 10th year as a surgeon.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're racing, you want to see the IndyCar graph. But if you're stitching up a wound, you want the F1 graph.
Well, I bet the sports book on F1 versus IndyCar is a lot different also, you know, because like, okay, so-and-so's in number starting in the grid position in number one. So yeah, the odds are really, you know, it's 1-1. He's going to win, you know, it's so the Indy 500 was fantastic. I dropped my mic. I don't know how that sounded.
Well, funny, Brad, you didn't have the line before you dropped the mic.
Yeah.
I heard that you went for a little ride in your Morgan the other day, yesterday.
Yeah. So Dad's rehearsing for the new tour, and he said, "Hey, well, why don't you come out and check out rehearsal, and then we'll go to dinner." And he always comments on the Morgan, you know, because we just finished the rally, and he's like, "God, I love that car. It's so cool." And I realized in the 4 years I've had it, he's never seen it in person. So I'm like, I'm going to drive the Morgan.
No kidding? Beautiful. Really? No.
Yeah, it was a nice, cool morning. I sunscreened up, but, you know, I still got burnt a little bit.
Wait,
but,
he wasn't practicing in L.A., though, right?
No. He's in Marin, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'll be there in 5 hours.
There, exactly. I still would have done it, but 55 miles away, nice number, was exactly how far it is. And so I drove it.
You were able to drive 55 getting down there?
No, apparently I was doing a lot more than that. Dad's like, man, you drive that thing way too fast. I'm like, what? You're in a Ferrari and I'm driving it too fast? Yeah.
Well, you've only got three wheels and no top. So I see where he's coming from.
Yeah. He's like, those skinny little front tires. I'm like, you should be proud of that. So I drove the Morgan and man, their rehearsal, I only heard a few songs, but they were so good. They played 51-50. And I'm like, how many times did you guys play that? Dad's like, oh, this is only the second time we played it. I'm like, holy shit. I mean, you know, some of those old Van Halen songs, I mean, it's all of the catalog, but they're just so powerful. And the way Joe plays, Joe's you know, and like Jason Joe's Bonham on drums and Mikey, I mean, killing it, just powerful. But yeah, it was fun to see Joe and everybody came outside to sit and Martin because they're all car guys, all of them. Yeah. And yeah, it was really fun. Mikey comes in and goes, hey, is that your little Morgan out there? I'm like, hey, he's like, that thing is badass.
As he comes in with flip flops on, probably.
Yeah, I'm like, can't drive
always,
it in those.
Dude.
Yeah,
I can't drive it in those.
I wear flip flops for a day and I've got to go into rehab for a week. He wears them 24/7 year round.
Right? I know, but my feet hurt today from stomping pedals all day.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Did guys, any of them go on a ride in the Morgan?
No one did. It was a pretty compact time frame. I didn't get to do a lot of things. In fact, Crash Jewelry gave me some riff. Check them out online. They make jewelry like arm cuffs and stuff, bracelets out of old car parts. And like they gave me one from a Ferrari Roma, and they gave Dad one from a Challenge car. And it has the some of the DMV information on the car where it came from. It's really a neat idea.
Crash Jewelry?
Called Crash Jewelry. But they gave Dad a beautiful one. It was all laser etched with his guitar. And I think one of his Strats. And it said Red Rocker on it. And they nailed it. And it's like I didn't even get a photo of that. And I just gave it to him real quick as we were leaving. It's like everything was so compressed as it usually is. But super fun. Yeah, we had a nice dinner with my sister and her friend, and yeah, it's good. Cool. But I drove Morgan home. It was really windy. I haven't driven that car in real high winds like that. It's a little gnarly in high winds at those speeds.
It was cool.
I wouldn't think so because it's so little. It's like a little bullet, but it's so light. It's only like 1,100 pounds. They're so light that they get tossed around pretty good, surprisingly, I think, because it's so light. But did I say how light it was? It's light.
How light is it?
So you're saying it's light?
So light.
The tour's going to be fun. Tour's going to be fun.
Tour's going to be incredible.
If they're having fun, then every show is just going to be amazing. And yeah. It seems like that crew is just going to have the best time.
What's great is like Mikey sent some footage and it's, you know, see the keyboard and have the keyboard again, you know, for some of those Van Halen songs that you were talking about and Satriani's guitar that he was playing with, the flip flop of Ed's, you know, it was just really cool. It's all white with the Van Halen, striping, but it's not Eddie's red. It's white with red and black.
Yeah. Joe's a cool dude. He's playing looked like polished aluminum. He was playing a chrome one yesterday and so cool. Brad, you know what? Look at the last Morgan edition of the three wheeler before the brand new one, the super three or whatever it's called. They made a limited edition single seater and it's got these dish front wheels and they're like $4,000. If you can even buy them or find them from Morgan. Can we talk about making a set? Because everybody, all my Morgan buddies want them. And I love those dish front wheels. They'll probably catch some air because they use sidecar wheels. But if you don't mind seeing if that's something we can do, I think they're 21s or 22s. They're big.
Let's take a look.
But they're only 2 inches wide. So
yeah, I was going to say that. I think they're 2.4 or something. But if that's something we could do, I'd be really interested. Just a dish wheel like
send
that.
Send me a photo of one or something. And
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, because we've been doing some different stuff lately like that. So,
It's got spinners on knockoffs on the front, you know, a center hub, but it's got a lug pattern in there behind it.
Good news is the car's lightweight, if he hasn't mentioned. So,
yeah,
I don't have to worry about the real load light. Rating, but it's real, real light.
Well, that's what I was wondering with the dish wheel. I don't know what Morgan did. I doubt they're steel, but I would think the rolling mass you'd want to be really light. So if they're compatible to that weight, that would be pretty cool.
No, check it out. Take a look. We've done.
And then I'll order them. There's no backspacing. There's no right down the middle.
Bernie Caliper.
Right down the middle.
Yeah, but you already said it was a center lock, right? So already that's...
It has a lug pattern behind it. So there's a hub.
It's like a cap with a hex on it.
But it's not a cap. You actually have to use that. So a lot of the old British cars that they had a, I don't know what, I'm going to screw this up, but it's like a hat that bolts on to the hub. And then you put the wheel on this little center spline that comes out. So it is a knockoff, but there's a bolted hub behind it that stays on the car. It's have you seen those?
Well, it sounds like a knockoff. I mean, it's so yeah. Like what we did at Boyd's was we would have a spindle and
a spindle. That's it. Yeah, a spindle.
The spindle would go on or the center assembly would go on and it would bolt on. And then, but the wheel was actually held on by a,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So a spindle is what I was thinking. I always thought that the knockoffs were actually part of that initial hub. It wasn't bolted on separate. It was part of the hub itself.
It could have something that goes on the spindle, and then
exactly.
That
yeah.
And it all has to be reverse threads. The worst thing is when you send things out to the spliner and they do it regular thread, because those are worth. I've got a set of wheels sitting in the back right now that are like that because we ordered them correctly. They did them wrong, and we put them on, started to roll around the shop, and wait a minute, front wheels are getting loose.
Oh no. And that's the thing. That's why I want to know if it can even be done.
Yeah.
You know?
There's so many of the race cars that we have over there that Adam has. They got the center locks on them, and they're always cool, and they look badass, but you're right. Like, there's got to be, like, dowels on there so it doesn't spin around. You know, the wheel doesn't move around. There's these dowels that kind of go into the back and then the center lock goes on. And you're right. They're reverse thread. And some of the cars are color coded red or blue, depending on the side it's supposed to go on.
Exactly.
And there's just a big lead hammer that you use to, you know, normally, like you just tighten them all that way. But on the racing cars, they still need to be torqued. You know, you don't use the hammer.
Right. So, yeah.
Sean over the shop, he's got like a 6-foot torque wrench. It's this giant torque wrench. And the only way you can get enough leverage, it's gotta be like 5 or 6 feet long. It's massive. And it has a huge center lug socket that goes on it. It's like, it's almost a 2-person job, like just to get it done.
Our hot rod ones, you had big hex, you know, socket, and it was about a 4-foot long. And what we always told our customers is, okay, you have to remember about every third time you drive the car, you got to break it loose and then torque it back because the spline's aluminum, the hex nut's aluminum, and it'll just keep tightening and tightening to the point where you can't get it. You know, it just binds itself to itself. And
now, as a safety precaution, there's a pin also. So if it loosened, it won't come off and the wheel won't fly. There's a pin that goes in there.
I don't need those safety.
But yeah, you're right. Now, if you had the torque gun custom made for the right torque setting, and
you buy an IndyCar one,
yeah, then you could do it. But I don't know. I don't know who's using those over there.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because I was thinking about it and that's some sketchy stuff. These are all steel, and I've never tightened them or loosened them. I have two fins on mine. Some had three. Some were just the the center knock, but mine didn't come with a hammer, so I've never messed with them because I never got the hammer. But they're really cool because I want to do like a black and white theme, you know, and do something that's kind of a cool vintage military style wheel, you know, like just with a tiny radius, not quite flat, just do some neat stuff, you know, and either do a black and white spiral in the middle or just do them like a satin gray or something. You know, I want it to be like an old, these look like wingless biplanes, and the whole idea of them has all these airplane stylings and features. So I thought, you know, remember how the old biplanes had those wheels? It would be so cool.
Why don't you buy a biplane? Take the wings off it and just drive that.
That's basically what a Morgan is.
Pattern. Yeah.
Made out of wood.
Yeah. Put it in reverse and drive it backwards.
Yeah. Use the propeller as a pusher instead of a puller.
Exactly. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. put a radial engine in it.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to tell you guys, I sent you this video, and I know you didn't get to see it before the show, but some people come on, they're just so dumb when it comes to the law. There was a lot of courts now are doing Zoom, where you don't even have to go into court. You just Zoom in. And there was a guy, I believe it was Michigan, that had been pulled over for a suspended driver's license. And he had to do a Zoom. So what do you think he did, guys?
Well, one could only guess.
This guy actually Zooms in to his court appearance while driving. Okay, ding, 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 ding. Driving while he's on his iPhone is illegal in the state he was in. And number two, he was driving, and he was being called in because of a suspended driver's license. The judge, I don't believe, had looked at the paperwork yet, because he asked the public defender, okay, what are we here for today? And she says, driving on a suspended driver's license. And he looks at the guy on the screen and he goes, what are you doing right now, sir? And he goes, I'm driving. And he goes, you're driving. And he goes, you know, that's illegal in the state. And he goes, I'm pulling into a parking space right now. Just give me a minute. Hold on, judge. Which the judge always appreciates that, when you tell him to hold on when they've already got you. And anyways, this guy, he had to report to jail that night because he was driving while he was on with the judge, and he was not
with a suspended license. Yes. And he was holding his phone and video chatting with the judge. Yes. At the same time. So he's going to have another violation.
Not the brightest guy. Not the brightest guy in the...
No, but the shock of look on his face.
He looked genuinely shocked. Like, are you kidding me? You know, and the prosecutor was laughing so hard she had to cover her face with her hand. Because it was just like, I don't think I could be a judge. My neighbor's a judge. And I just see these people and I just go, I couldn't refrain from the comments. I don't think I don't. Wow. You know.
There was a pawn show I stumbled across one evening when I was watching some YouTube stuff. A pawn show, PAWN.
Oh, okay.
And he was showing how all the scammers come in and, you know, tell all these stories about the stuff. And, oh, really? Oh, I didn't know it was a fake watch. I bought it from an outlet, you know, and just all these stories. And the same thing, it's like, I could never have that job, and I fall for all of it.
Yeah,
it's like last night.
Oh my god,
I don't even remember who it was, but somebody said they sold their old iPhone on Marketplace for $75, and they thought, I thought it was a great deal. I met this guy in front of Walmart, and you know, he had $75, handed it to me, and I looked down, everything looked legit. And got back to my car. He was gone. And then I realized I had two 20s and a $35 bill. And he showed a picture of it. And he goes, the two 20s were sandwiched in.
Wow.
And he goes, a $35 bill. I went, oh, what did I just do?
Wow. That's hilarious. How bizarre. Like,
I've seen a $3 bill, but I've never seen a $35. Yeah.
Who was on the 35?
I don't know. He just showed the
Snoop
corner.
Dogg?
Brad was on it.
Yeah,
wearing,
yeah,
wearing a top
hat, all of us.
Monocle.
It was the team.
It was the Monopoly guy. It was the giraffe from Toys R Us.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, Joffrey the giraffe.
Joffrey, that's right.
Yeah. Hey, let's round up the show with some good news, Matt. Tell everybody about how California is going to soak us even more for...
Oh, God.
California is
California is
being California as usual. They've got a couple of wonderful things in store for you soon. First,
are these going to get passed?
I mean, there is
yes.
Or is it
just an idea?
I'll guarantee you.
No. So there's two things happening. So one is California wants to put an alert in your car, like your seatbelt chime, for every time you are going over the speed limit.
Now these are new vehicles produced after this, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they're saying anything over 10 miles per hour, it's going to just start dinging and dinging and dinging. And so that's, by the way,
what a waste of money. And and they keep going, and it'll be completely the responsibility of the car manufacturers to pay for this and figure it out. And it'll be up to the car manufacturers to figure out what the speed limit is using like GPS and all, like just the cost associated with this is kind of silly.
Ridiculous.
Well, all I know is that if they do that, mine will probably be going, yee! You know, because it's just going to be constant.
Constant. And then there's a pilot program that is coming. This is happening, where California has pushed so many people into buying EV. 1.1 million electric cars have been sold in California, and like 1.3 million hybrids in California. Now, great. That's what they told us all to do. They kept forcing it down our throats, basically. The result is $200 million a year loss in income for California for gas taxes. So now they got to go back and they're going to go, oh, how about we don't do the gas tax? We're going to start charging people per mile. So now everyone with an EV can make up for that $200 million loss. And they're running out of pilot program, and they're not exactly sure. It's going to be 2 cents, 3 cents, or 4 cents per mile.
Jesus.
And they're trying to do like a calculator on their website to try to prove to you that it would be less money. They're saying, hey, if you drove 1,000 miles in your EV, you could pay $20 a month. But what you're paying on the gas tax on average is like $27 in fuel taxes. But
if you're driving a fuel car, you're paying the fuel taxes and the miles per gallon.
There's so many ways that's not going to work. And how are they going to regulate it? And what infrastructure? Does it apply to motorcycles and old cars or just new cars? How are they going to implement it? How are they going to get you? I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of questions surrounding it. But I guess the way they're going to do it is when you renew your registration every year, the registration
you have to turn in your miles.
Maybe you have to turn in your miles. I guess that's how they're going to have to do it. I'm not sure.
Good luck with that bullshit.
But by the way, on older cars, like you were saying, if you thought cracking open the odometer, rolling it back to increase the value limit was the thing, every single analog odometer is like, all of a sudden people are going to be like, I don't drive my car anymore. And they're like, but the wear and tear on this car feels like you put 8,000 miles. Like, nope, put 90 miles on it this year.
But that's bullshit. Cause if you commute out of state, or like I'm going to Alaska and I'm doing a 10,000 mile trip again next year.
There you go.
It's like, you know, well, I'm not in California. So
that's a good question as well.
It's another good question. Absolute bullshit. Absolute bullshit.
Yeah. How do they know how many miles were driven in California?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's if you start bullshit. Getting around it, then they're going to start putting a little thing on your, how many times was your gas door open to put fuel?
Yeah, you know, they're going to go.
I open it when I detail my car.
Yeah.
They're going to do something silly like they normally do, like, cause all of this is silly. And they're going to say, okay, we need to log your miles, but now we're going to make the car manufacturers tell us what the miles are of the car electronically, along with
the transponder.
With your VIN number. It'll correspond with your VIN number.
But also along with a GPS to find out where you drove. And they're like, we don't want to invade your privacy, so we just need to know if you were in California or not.
we don't want to invade your privacy, just to know that you drove from LA to Riverside to... You know, it's like,
They're simply going to make you prove it. They're going to go, you need to audit yourself and turn in the paperwork, and then we'll refund you based on what you came up with. I guarantee it that they're going to ask for a flat fee based on those miles, and then they're going to have you plead the case, and then they will refund you the difference. You watch, man, a bunch of bullshit.
I think the new cars will all be downloadable, and they will have what Matt said, that it'll just give a graph and upload to the government. The older cars, it will be, you just got to pay a flat fee. Doesn't matter. If you drive it no miles or you drive it 10,000 miles, it's the same. It'll be like a grid. 0 to 10,000, 10,000 to 50, you know, whatever. It'll be something like that.
Already, like, our registration is outrageous. It's gone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And insurance, too.
And insurance. Jeez. Insurance is up almost 30% year over year. It just came out in a report in April. Compared to April of last year, it's like 28-point-something percent insurance has gone up. And that's people if you can get insurance.
People that don't live in California, all you enthusiasts out there, you don't realize that unlike every other state where older cars, their plates get less every year. What was it? 2 years ago? I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago. Ours started increasing every year.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's
some old car that you drive 300 miles a year. You pay, you know, $300 and registration for now. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. And why am I building a house here? So I can take care of my mom.
As much as we like California, you know, as much as we love California and the weather is nice, but I swear the California system is doing everything they can to hate their citizens. It's just like all they want to do is punish. It's
the only
like,
thing they hate more is people who manufacture. That's the only thing they hate more. And
oh my gosh,
no, I've so looked silly. Many times. I recently I've said, is this really where I want to be forever? Because I love it here. And I said, I'm never leaving. But man, they just keep doing stuff to make you want to leave.
My neighbor here in the warehouse, this guy that does work for like cable companies. He's a contractor and he does the cable company stuff, but up on the poles, he does like outside stuff. Doesn't like wire up your house. He's got giant reels of stuff with a bucket truck and all that stuff out there. And
cable guy,
he and his wife have just been looking into this for the past year. He's got 2 more years. He's going to retire, and he's just like, we're going to Portugal. He's like, we figured out.
Somebody else has talked about.
Yeah, Portugal. He's like, we've just been doing the math on it, and we could just live so great there, and it's wonderful. He goes in the summer. He's like, we're going on vacation over there. We're going to start looking around. Maybe we'll buy a little something. And he goes, we're going to. Wow. I think we're going to retire to Portugal.
You know what? I've talked to many people that have talked about going different countries. Portugal was one of them. But you know what? There's nothing like the United States. When you've traveled around the world, you realize it's a great place to visit, but living there is a whole different
A friend of mine, I think, is retiring into Italy. But now Italy has really high taxes, so you don't want to work there. You just want to retire there.
Right.
You just
want to spend money there. Quite a few things about Italy. Interesting. Yeah.
But it's also one of what we forget is even Italy, you do not know they're not as stable as we are. As much as we gripe about like right now what's going on with our government and stuff, it's so much more stable than anywhere I've ever visited.
Yeah. You know? He's such an off the grid person. When he says Italy, he means like on the side of a mountain somewhere hanging from a rope.
Exactly. I bought an abandoned castle.
Like even Hong Kong. I love Hong Kong. I went there so many times and I thought, wow, what a great place
to visit.
No. I mean, Aaron, have you ever been to Hong Kong?
No, but any city like that, you can't get me near.
No, it's like you can go to one part of Hong Kong and it's like China. You can go to another part. It's like Manhattan. And you can drive 35 minutes and be on a beach that looks like you're in Hawaii. It's
Tammy used to live there.
It's fantastic. And
really?
It's what?
Tammy used to live there.
Oh,
she lived there for, I think, 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
let's get her on.
But now,
tell us about Hong Kong.
As stable as it was and everything, now under Chinese rule, you know, and it's not the same place anymore. So you would not want to live there. And
you're always going to be expensive.
She's like, we lived in a tiny place with like in a high rise with like a hot plate. You couldn't even get like a stove.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just remember a lot of meat hanging in the streets for sale.
Oh, yeah. You can see.
And chicken necks.
Yeah. Just a lot of things with necks. Hanging from ropes.
Faces.
You identified them by the neck.
Yeah. It's like a lot of necks.
But anyway,
I haven't been, I couldn't say.
It's an amazing place, at least takeover by the Chinese. It was just fantastic place. Guys, we should probably wrap it up. We're an hour and a half in.
What?
The show, and we're having fun. And that's
when Brad moves, Bond Speed's going to start making wheels for rickshaws, because that's all he's going to be have out there. He's going to make a rickshaw
wheel.
Hey,
I had a yard sale last weekend, okay? And I found out.
This sounds like a hoax.
And he sold a Bradshaw.
I had a big yard sale because, as you know, we've talked about it here on the show. My mom passed away, and I'm dealing with her estate. So there's a lot of stuff from her. I mean, that's really a lot of what I was doing. But so I did a yard sale, and, you know, I can't ever just like throw the clothes in piles like people do and stuff. That just like, just bugs me. So we did rolling racks. We had easy up tents. We had.
They're all laundered.
Everything. It was like all
dry cleaned.
And, but I got everything set up on Friday afternoon. And then I went, oh, wait a minute. What do I do tonight? So I had to park my Suburban across the driveway, and my dog and I slept in the truck overnight.
Oh, God.
Every little thing I heard, I was like, oh, somebody's up. Somebody's going through this, you know? And so I didn't get a lot of sleep, but at one point my dog starts barking and I look out, there's a coyote, and this was a big coyote.
Yeah. I was going to say, you weren't out here though. You were back in Arizona.
No. This was in my neighborhood.
You're out here. Okay.
Oh yeah. We see coyotes in our neighborhood quite often in the foothills.
In your mom's neighborhood, you could have just left everything out in the front yard and went to bed inside. It would have been fine.
Everybody goes to, literally the neighbors go to sleep at like 6 o'clock.
You know? Yeah. Plus it's like an honor system. They probably would have put like $5 in your mailbox and said, I took the statue of an elephant.
Yeah.
Here you go.
But here's the bad thing about that. No garage sales, no estate sales in the guarded community where she lives. So yeah. I have to bring everything back here and sell it. What a hassle. But it was fun. You know, it was a yard sale. A lot of work for very little return. We did okay. It's funny, the things that sell. Very first thing, Rick called it. I had I did a TV show years ago that we had Monster Energy Drink as a sponsor, and I was a producer on it. And they sent me a truck, a semi-truck, pulled up out back one day, and they offloaded all these umbrellas, those rolling coolers that say Monster Energy, and two pallets of Monster Energy Drink. And we had so much swag, and we used it on the show because it was a motorcycle show, and we would go out site, on site, and we'd have motocross bikes, we'd have street bikes, whatever it was. And we would always have one of those rollers. Well, inevitably, somebody who was a guest on the show would go, hey, can I have that? And we'd, yeah, sure. Well, I ended up with a couple extras still new in the box. And I put one of those out. Oh, my God. Everybody who stopped, first thing they went to. And the very first one, I was still setting up little 4Runner stops. And guy and his wife jump out and they go, we're having a big party. Cause of course it's Memorial Day weekend. We're having a party this weekend. How much? And I tell them and they go, $150. And I go, they go for like $250 online. And they're like, okay, we'll take it. And so I got the other one out, put it out, and everybody came by, and it was a big draw. You know, it was that Monster Energy logo, that thing. Really drew the
attention. I would have taken one of like the Monster Energy fridges because I can rebrand it with Bravago on it. You take the
I had a whole bunch of those, but I threw them out.
Matt, I've got a Red Bull one. You're welcome to it. It's sitting in the living room.
Seriously,
and it takes It takes the short cans.
Yeah. All you got to do is drive up there.
Put it in the Morgan, drive it on down.
It's in Tahoe. I can grab it and bring it down to you when I come down.
But yeah, I need the tabletop ones or the stand-up ones. And then oftentimes you can take the sides off and like get new ones made or rebrand them or wrap them or paint them or whatever. Or
we had a couple of those.
Graphics and sometimes they light up and they're kind of cool. Like, I don't know, you can do whatever.
The this is the squat kind. It's kind of long and skinny.
Yeah,
it holds the little cans.
Well, I know what ones you mean. Those are cool. Yeah,
I mean we have silver. You know,
we have normal size 12-ounce cans, so it's only
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's five inch.
Is that a new flavor? Is that a new flavor out of the office?
Oh, that's a new product we're working on. Here you go. Here's the other one.
Oop, don't show that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right, guys. Yeah. Well, hey, right,
thanks.
Episode 439 in the can, and we'll be back next week. That's a promise, not a threat.
In the can, like the Bravado can?
In the Bravado can. And hey, everybody, with our new, if you go to our website, you can always find everything out at shiftandsteer.com. But on believe.com, if you go there to find our show, there's also our Instagram links for each of us and for the show. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. Promise not a threat.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.